So we're talking today with Susan Lenz, a local fiber artist in Columbia, South Carolina. So Susan, I know last time we spoke, you talked a lot about your work ethic. Where would you say that comes from?
My father came to this country in 1952 as a bright-eyed 17-year-old looking at America as being the land of opportunity. My family is German. The German work ethic is you work to live and you live to work. What's the difference? So my work ethic came to me by example from my family, my growing up, and the fact that if you accept a job, you are always to do it to the best of your ability. It has nothing whatsoever to do with the payment or the outcome, but if you say you're going to do it, you do it to the best of your ability. It's always how I've worked at anything. So there was no reason not to apply it to making art.
And I know last time we spoke a lot about the amount of artwork you've produced and the amount of stuff that you've taken on and how you have a lot that's just going on in your mind before you even put it down on paper or start to work on it. Would you say that that comes from that work ethic, that you've always worked hard because you're constantly, you know, thinking about what's next?
I hear from an awful lot of people, especially other artists, the same question over and over again. Do you ever sleep? Well, of course I do. 8 hours a night. And I have a Fitbit that even proves that. The secret isn't in whether you sleep or not. It's what you do with the other hours of your day. And if you have a strong work ethic and you put in the hours, you will automatically have something to show for the time. So for me, I don't look at it as being more productive than other people, not by the hours spent. I just spend more hours. So to me, the result is because I put those hours in. And while you're working, the inspiration for the next piece is always going through your mind on the piece you're working with. So the more you work, the more ideas come. And that's what a lot of artists talk about when they talk about being in their studio and being engaged in the flow and the process of making. The more you make, the more you want to make, the more ideas there are to make, and the more of an action plan gets formulated while you're in the process of making. So it just seems to multiply. And the results just seem to stack up in storage as a result.
Okay. And how do you digest criticism, process it, and react to it both in your personal life and professionally with your artwork?
Criticism is hard. I think that's why it falls as a negative word in most dictionaries, even though many people and many experts and many college professors, too, try to put a very positive spin on it. And they call it constructive criticism. But even constructive criticism is hard. It's particularly hard when you're making art. If you're making art that is speaking to your soul and through which you are trying to communicate ideas that are important to you, even constructive criticism is very difficult to take appropriately, especially upon impact. When I get criticism, whether constructive or not, I usually cry. It's my gut reaction to negativity. Cry. And then I have a very brief period of doubt. I doubt myself. I believe all the criticism to be true and that everything I've ever made and me, well, it sucks. I can't maintain that for long because I know it's not true. So at that point, you've got through the tears, you've got through the doubts, you have to lay the criticism on the table and evaluate it. Does it have any relevancy? And sometimes it doesn't, even if it's meant as constructive criticism. There are times where it has absolutely nothing to do with what you want to say and do through your art. And so you can consider it constructive and well-meaning and dismiss it. There's also criticism that was just criticism and meant to hurt you. And when you get to that place, you realize it was meant to hurt you. And you can choose not to pick up that baggage and let it go. The least amount of constructive criticism that you receive that is relative to what you're doing and what you're trying to do, I wish it was the majority, but it isn't usually. It is usually the minority, and it's worth investigating. And it's like, I ask myself, well, wait a minute. Could I do something different? Could I do something better? And often those words, and that doesn't mean I didn't cry about them, and it doesn't mean I didn't doubt myself, but when you come to that place that you can evaluate those words, you really can take your work to a higher level, a deeper understanding. That's great. And I owe a lot of people for giving me really good advice. And I tend to call it good advice, not constructive criticism, because at that point, that's what it feels like.
So you would say that, you know, in general, that the constructive criticism has helped you as an artist?
Yes, yes. But I will also put as a major caveat, it is the minority amount of criticism that is the helpful type. You just got to wade through a lot of crap to get to those words that do have meaning and potential to help you grow. And you've got to learn not to pick up the negativity that somebody else is heaping on you. I guess it's like finding the pearl in the oyster. You got to crack a lot of shells before you get one.
Where would you say you draw the most inspiration from in your artwork?
For me, I draw a lot of inspiration from architecture. I love buildings, particularly historic buildings. It's probably to do with the fact that people live in buildings. I am much more drawn to a human aspect, to not necessarily an urban setting, but to a landscape that is peopled. I like touching people through my artwork by using the reference to other people. And one of the easiest vehicles is the space they live in, whether it's comfortable and whether it's in harmony with nature, whether it's just the elements and motifs that different cultures put on the buildings in which they live. Much of my fiber art is indebted to the Austrian architect Friedrich Hundertwasser. He made a fixed income condominium building in Vienna that is a major tourist attraction and has a gift shop. His philosophy was to stress individualism, that if you had to live in a box, and we all do, you had not only the right, but the responsibility to make that box your very own. He hated straight lines, 90-degree angles. He saw no reason why floors should be flat, but they should be colorful and indicative of the people that live there, the unique individuals. So a lot of my fiber work is an abstracted view to an imaginary Hundertwasser city, and in each little box is a unique motif to reflect the people, those individuals who live there. I like that idea that we are all together in this world, and yet we are all wonderfully special.